Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this, the day we celebrate the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. I believe, though, that Steve was paying tribute to Ukrainian Christmas. A little cheat earlier on, he sent us an MP3 of the Ukrainian carols that he was going to play this morning. So thank you for that, for a little Ukrainian Christmas here at St. James. So, as you can see, last week I stood in this space and said we were going to continue doing what we were doing, and then the numbers got a little worse and churches started to close, and what I said we are still committed to with some slight changes, we're going to continue having in-person worship. We've decided to go to one service. We have capped it at 60 people. As you can see, we don't have 60 people here. We didn't expect to have 60 people. But just in case, we wanted to make sure we had that in place, because with 60 people, as you can see, we have lots of room for you to spread out. And I would encourage you, as you come and sit down in church, when there's the opportunity to sit a little further away from folks, it's all good things for us to do. The best way to keep in touch with what we're doing is to follow us on Facebook and on our website, or call the office. We try to get all that information out. So this is the schedule that we will continue with for the next little while. It will be 10:30 only in person. You won't have to register unless we start creeping up towards that 60 number, but that will be the cap, is at 60. Thank you to those who undecorated yesterday. If you were here last week, you would have seen boxes and boxes and boxes through the week of decorations, and I came in and I looked and said, wow, this is different. This whole area is open again, because it was completely full of poinsettias and Christmas trees and Advent wreaths and all kinds of things. So as you can imagine, that took a few people, and we say thank you to all those folks. A thank you to us from the good folks at Epiphany Church, and we send our thanks right back to them for all that they do. We have participated for several years in the Toonies for Turkeys understanding, and Epiphany helps in their neighborhood and beyond with all kinds of things, and so we are grateful to be able to be part of it, and we are grateful to receive Teresa and the congregation's thanks for our participation in that. As well, for the second year in a row, St. James ran our own in-house assistance program. In doing that, we helped somewhere around 10, 12 families and or individuals, which is a good thing to do. I think that's all the announcements I need to make this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our name. Amen. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your sight, your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, Keep your children born of water and the Spirit faithful to their calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of Acts. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The baptism of Jesus. The Gospels tell us the story. So what is baptism? How does the story we just heard from Luke's gospel impact on us today? Now, did you note, and this is consistent through the gospels, that John the Baptist came baptizing first? He set the pattern. Then Jesus came and baptized. After he was baptized, he baptized other people. And it was at Jesus' baptism that he began to do his ministry. But did you take note of the passage from Acts this morning, which talked about a place where people had been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples went and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Does that factor into your understanding of baptism? We oftentimes hear stories and homilies about the baptism of the Lord, about John the Baptist, about the day of Pentecost. But do we relate them to our baptism? My guess is that a significant portion of the people who are here today were baptized in the Anglican Church using the rite from the Book of Common Prayer. Here's the opening prayer in that service. Dearly beloved in Christ, seeing that God willeth all men to be saved from the fault and corruption of the nature which they inherit, as well as from the actual sins which they commit, and that our Savior Christ saith, none can enter into the kingdom of God except he be born anew of water and of the Holy Spirit, I beseech you to call upon God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will grant to this child that which by nature he cannot have, that he may be baptized with water and the Holy Spirit and received into Christ's holy church and made a living member of the same. How does that sit with you? Is that your understanding of baptism? Those who know me well will have heard many times me say, I love the cadence and the language of the Book of Common Prayer. I'm not so excited about the theology. The doctrine of original sin. That the stain of Adam and Eve and their revolt against God is passed on from generation to generation to generation. I can remember one day hearing a rather vibrant conversation between an older male cleric and a younger female cleric on this very subject. And man, did it get heated. So, what say you? Have you ever stopped to think about what baptism is? Now, you'll note that Jesus was baptized as an adult. And then suddenly, well, not suddenly, 2 centuries later, that's not suddenly, but for how long have we been baptizing children? So how did we get from mostly adult baptisms that John the Baptist was doing and baptizing Jesus to the baptism of children? Well, that goes through Augustine of Hippo and many other theologians over time. But it is clear to see that 2nd, 3rd, 4th century, the church was committed to the understanding that because of original sin, because we are all born stained of that original sin, that you must be baptized immediately because that's your only path to salvation. Now, how does that sit with today's theology? I can tell you after going to seminary, and for those who don't know, my kids were born one in seminary, one as we left seminary, and one in our first parish. We took a long pause before we baptized our children. See, the Book of Common Prayer assumes that you will baptize a child as an infant, and then they will come back and meet the bishop right here when they are old enough to speak for themselves. I can tell you with great certainty that in the 27 years I've been doing this, 95% of the kids that I baptized did not come back to meet the bishop for confirmation. And in fact, probably 90% of them have never been back to church again, period. Which means that our theology of baptism is we don't know what it means, other than the fact that it's something you do at church. You're supposed to do it because grandma and grandpa said so, because that's their tradition, so we better do it. Now, the first thing I say to people who bring their children to me to be baptized is, I don't care what you believe about it in the general sense. I do care that you engage the conversation. I do care that you take the promises seriously. That you promise that your children will grow up in faith. And I say as politely as I can, I know that for most of you that's not your plan. That you feel that what you have done today is sufficient. That this is now a child of God. What say you? There are very few things in the world that have remained so unchanged as the church. How many people grew up in a one-room schoolhouse? How many grew up in a small school? How many people here grew up in a school that had computers? How many people here grew up in schools that didn't have such things as field trips and guest speakers? You just went to school and you did that. Yet, as that's changed, the church is still radically unchanged. I grew up with Mr. Finnegan's corner store, my favorite place. Wasn't a mall to be seen anywhere. How many of you go to Mr. Finnegan's corner store, except for maybe I forgot to get milk and I have to have some? How many of you shop at the local men's and boys' wear or family wear or girls' wear shop? No, we all go to malls. How many grew up with cars that had 8-cylinder engines and looked like tanks and ran on leaded gasoline and polluted everything? We've learned. Cars are smaller, more energy efficient, less pollution. Everything changes, it seems, except for the church is committed to stay the same. And we do that, I think, by not engaging in really, really important and really, really interesting questions like the one I'm asking this morning. What does baptism mean to you? If someone who had never been to church, who lived in our world today, walked up to you and said, "Tell me what baptism is," would you respond by saying, "To be saved from the fault and corruption of the nature which they inherit, as well from the actual sins which they commit, and that our Savior Christ saith, none can enter into the kingdom of God except he be born anew of water and of the Holy Spirit"? It's probably not going to be your response. And if it was, and they say, "Well, what does that mean?" And you're going to go, "I don't know. It's in the Book of Common Prayer. It's what they said when I was baptized." This is important. Baptism has been one of the most important discussions in the church for a long time. And it still is. We're still trying in the Anglican Church. We have people trying to do what they call the catechumenate, which is to put together educational pieces that try to bring the theology of our past into the reality of today and invite people into faith. There's a corollary here in that the Anglican Church accepts two sacraments. Two parts of our liturgy which are, for lack of a better way of putting it, more important than the others. The Eucharist, the receiving of the body and blood of Christ, and baptism. Now, I predicted when COVID hit and we could no longer have communion that it would be a great hardship for people to not receive communion on a regular basis. I haven't had many conversations about that. Is it important? Does it make a difference in your everyday life to receive Christ anew in the Eucharist? That's why we do it. There's lots of churches that don't. Some churches that do it in a symbolic basis, but we say this is something important. We say this is something that you do to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Now, often I get all wound up in doing things and trying to get the logistics of the service done, and I just pop the wafer in my mouth and don't stop to think about it. And then when I leave, I go, why did I do that? Why wasn't that important to me? Have you ever thought about your baptism? Now, I know for some of you, it's a few years. It's over 60 years since I was baptized. Because of the nature of the work I decided to take on, I think about my baptism all the time. But even I was kind of grated when I read that opening paragraph from the Book of Common Prayer baptismal service. I don't remember the last time I did a BCP baptism. It's a long time ago. And let's be honest, when people ask me to do BCP baptisms, weddings, and funerals, it's usually because it's comfortable to them. They like the language. They like the cadence. But we need to go beyond that surface. We need to go deeper into what baptism is. Baptism is a promise. When it's an infant, baptism is a promise made by the parents and sponsors that says, this child will understand God, Jesus, faith, on my watch. If you were confirmed and or baptized as an adult, same promise applies, only it's all on you. We are called to understand what it is that we believe. And it makes a difference. One of the biggest changes in baptism came with Martin Luther and the Great Reformation. At that point in time, a lot of churches went from baptizing infants to saying, no, this is too important. We have to baptize believers. And while there was for a while two streams of believers, baptism and infant baptism, the whole understanding of baptism in the church since the Reformation has just gone like this. A lot of churches don't even do baptism anymore. There are churches that do it with full immersion. If you have somebody in your world that goes to another church, an evangelical, radically different church, if I can use those terms, sit down and ask them what they believe about baptism. Then have a conversation. Not on quoting a prayer book or something, but have a conversation from the heart as to what it means to be a baptized person. It's a promise that should impact you every day of your life. Now, first, this homily was going to end by me using the prayer that the BIS provides for baptizing a child. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon this your servant the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to the new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. And man, I like that. The theology there is my theology. I want people to have inquiring and discerning hearts. I want people to persevere in their faith. I want people to argue with their faith. I want people to gain faith and then lose it because they're mad at God and then come back to faith. I want people who, when somebody says something from a faith standpoint, I want people to say, that's not right. And somebody says, well, prove it. I'll be right back. Let me go research it. Instead, we're all taught not to talk about religion or politics because that's dangerous. but we lose out. So that's where I was going to end, and I like that. But as God so often does, God provides another little nugget that I think ends this homily in an even better way. As I often tell you, I subscribe to the Brothers of the Society of St. John the Evangelist in Massachusetts. They send out, "Brother, give me a word," which is usually a paragraph, sometimes two paragraphs every day. Always makes me think because it's always asking me to get in and argue with my faith. Not to just say, "I believe in God, that's good." But to say, "I believe, but I'm not sure. Well, I never thought of it. Yeah, okay, let me pray about that." So this is what came up on my computer yesterday morning. To believe is not ultimately to wrap your brain around some existential concept. To believe is to embrace something with your heart, as if your life depended upon it. The English word believe comes from the same etymological root as the word beloved, which is to hold dear, to love deeply. You may need to believe less and to beloved more, to be more beloved by the living God. Let me read that last line again. You may need to believe less to beloved more, to be more beloved by the living God. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, "I believe in God, the Father." I invite you now to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Let us pray to the God who calls us each by name. We pray for all baptized Christians to live out their calling in loving and holy lives. We pray for those preparing for baptism and confirmation, for parents and godparents to be given the grace and perseverance to keep faithfully the promises made. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives. We pray for peace and integrity in all our dealings as individuals and in local, national, and international conflicts, for openness to hear God's wisdom and courage to follow His lead. Come, Holy Spirit,
fill our lives.
We pray for harmony and understanding in our relationships with family and neighbors, for the willingness both to give and receive, for the generosity of forgiving love. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for those whose weariness or pain makes it difficult for them to pray. May they sense the support and love of the Church of God. We pray for healing for Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Bill Carswell, Diane Fuster, Anna Woodson, Pat Collette, Chris Briglia, and Sylvia Brightwell. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for those whose souls have left behind their frail and broken bodies and can now fly freely to live in God's company for the whole of eternity. Especially, we pray for Fred Pincombe. Bless and comfort their loved ones, and bring us all in your good time to share the joy of heaven. Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill our lives.
We give you thanks for calling us by name and keeping us safe through all the storms and difficulties of this life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With a smile in our eyes, with a wave of our hand, with an acknowledgement, together we share. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. God of life and freedom, we celebrate the revelation of Jesus as the Christ who makes all creation new. Accept all we offer you this day and make us new in him who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared her human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Our communion protocol, Jerry and I will be sharing and distributing communion this morning. I'll be on this side, Jerry on this side. You may sit, stand, or kneel to receive communion. Please stay where you are. We'll come to you. When the person bringing communion to you has moved away, you may lower your mask and receive the host and then put your mask back into place. We do have gluten-free wafers if you so desire. And anyone who does not wish to receive communion and would prefer to receive a blessing, just signify in this way. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious God, lover of all, by this sacrament you make us one family in Christ, your Son, one in the sharing of his body and blood, one in the communion of his Spirit. Help us to grow in love for one another and come to the full maturity of the body of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Again, I expect that this will be our rhythm as we go forward. Keep an eye on website and Facebook in case changes are required. God has a sense of humor. Somebody asked me how many people I expected today, and I said, well, the over-under is 30. So nobody wins because we have exactly 30 people here. We are neither over nor under. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other.